This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
This morning, I really felt like the Lord gave me a word on identity and knowing who we are in Christ. Because this is a revelation that I've had in the past few years of knowing the Lord, where before my identity was apprehended. Because I didn't truly know who I was in Christ. You know, I was controlled by my addiction to pornography. I thought I was a dirty, rotten sinner. And I didn't know the grace from God that He actually took away my sin. You know, it talks about, Paul says that there was a spiritual circumcision that went on when Jesus paid the price for us. The cutting away of our sinful nature. That we don't actually have to deal with that anymore. And to talk about this topic of identity, I want to start in Isaiah 40. So if you've got your Bibles, open up with me, and I'm going to be reading from, from verse 21. So to give a little bit of context, Isaiah is writing to the Israelites who are in captivity in Babylon. And what he's trying to get from these people is to actually call them back to who they are in Christ. Because they're trapped in captivity, and sometimes we can get into a place where we're actually trapped in the same sort of captivity because we don't know who we are in Christ. And the first verse that I want to point us to is verse 21, where Isaiah says, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Or have you not understood?" You know, then it goes on. I'll just read this passage and then I'll talk about it a little bit more. So from verse 21, "Have you not known? Have you not understood? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When He will also blow on them, and they will wither. And the whirlwind will take them away like stumbleweed. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal to, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by numbers. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of His might and the strength of His power. No one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by God?" So I want to stop there, because this point that Isaiah is starting to make is that the Israelites who are in captivity, they've almost forgotten who God is. They've forgotten what He has done in the past, how He brought them out of Egypt. But you see, you obviously would have known the story that the Israelites over time, they turned away from God. And yes, God is a good God, but He's also a just judge. And when we actually turn away from Him, there's actually consequences for that. And because of this, there was the fall of Jerusalem, and then they were in captivity. So Isaiah is starting to say here, to call them back to who they actually were, to who they were in Christ, because these people at the time would have forgotten. And I love the way that Psalm 137 puts it from the perspective of an Israelite who was in captivity. So Psalm 137 from verse 1, "Besides the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept as we thought of Jerusalem. We put away our harps, hanging them on the branches of the poplar tree. For our captors demanded a song from us. Our tormentors insisted on a joyful hymn. Sing us one of those songs of Jerusalem. But how can we sing the song of the Lord while in this pagan land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget how to play the harp. May my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I fail to remember, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. So this bondage that the Israelites were in this place of captivity, we can be in that same sort of place. We're in captive by the apprehension of our identity and not actually understanding what Jesus has done for us. And we can get into a place of feeling trapped in the bondage, feeling trapped in the sins that we keep committing over and over again, or our depressions, our anxieties, our fears, or whatever it might be, and it keeps us trapped in bondage. But Jesus already paid the price for it all. But we forget to understand that that's what he did. And the enemy loves to keep us in this place of going, woe is me, for this self-inflicted pain that we cause on ourselves for not actually understanding who God is. And we get to this place like the Israelites were, where they started to hang up their harps. And we slowly go on this journey of hanging up those harps and forgetting what Jesus has already done in our lives. And we stay in this place of captivity. And the truth is that we need to have the revelation of what Jesus did on the cross for us so that we can find freedom from that. We can find freedom and knowing that we are righteous through the work of the cross. That we are sons and daughters through the work of the cross. Through that what Jesus did for us on that cross, we can find freedom from our anxieties, our depressions, and whatever else it might be that you might be struggling with. So I want to wrap a bunch of scripture around this so we can truly understand this. And Paul talks about it, if I can get to the right verse, in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, for now we see through a glass darkly. And the description that Paul is using with this is back in biblical times, the mirrors that they would have was obsidian, and they would polish it until they could just see their reflection turning back at them. And they could only see a vague picture of themselves looking back at them. And that was all the mirror that they had. And if we don't truly understand our identity in Christ in total, and we don't understand that we are righteous, then we can't walk in the freedom that he's paid for. And we end up looking at this mirror, like what Paul says. So let me actually ask you a question. Where in the Bible does it say that we are sinners? Well, nowhere. Where in the Bible does it say that we are captive to our fears, our depressions, our anxieties? Nowhere. But you see, we stay in this place of apprehension because we don't know how to get out of that space. We stay in this place of being locked in this bondage and carrying these burdens around and not finding true freedom. We forget to understand that Jesus's yoke is easy and his burden is light. But in this place of apprehension and not knowing who Christ truly is, we carry these burdens around. And we can't find that freedom from that. So let's wrap some scripture around this. In Colossians 2:11-12, it talks about how Paul says that when Jesus paid the price for us and he died on that cross, there was a spiritual circumcision that took place. And apologies, I'll stop there for a second. I've got a lot of scripture here and I was going to make a PowerPoint, but I'd encourage you to actually take notes as I start saying these scriptures, to actually go back and learn them for yourselves. Because these scriptures that are talking about righteousness and who we are in Christ are pivotal to know this sort of stuff. And so from Colossians 2, it talks about that spiritual circumcision that took place, the cutting away of our sinful nature, that we don't actually have to stay in that place of bondage. And in Psalms 113, it talks about he removed our sins as far away as from the east is from the west. But we stay in this place of bondage and captivity. And for me, that was a long process that I had to realize that the sin and the circumstances of my life that I was carrying and I was keeping in bondage, it took a long time for me to realize that I could actually just give it all to Jesus. And I could actually just lay it all at his feet and actually leave it and pick up that light burden and take on that easy yoke. So, are you starting to get the picture that I'm painting? Our sinful nature is being cast away as far as the east is from the west. So our anxieties, our fears, or whatever you might be going through, it's actually already been dealt with through the cross. And we are made righteous through that work of the cross. We have been right, made right in the eyes of the Lord through the price that Jesus paid. And none of us actually deserve that, but he gave it willingly, as what Chester was even talking before when we take communion. But in Romans 4, from verse 5, it says this: "But people are counted as righteous, not because of their work, but because of their faith in God, who forgives sinners." David also spoke of this when he described the happiness of those who are declared righteous without working for it. "Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sins are put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose records are in the Lord's and have been declared for sin, declared free of sin." In Romans 3, 21 to 26, we read this: "But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ, to all who believe." "There is no difference between the Jew or the Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus." Isaiah 61, verse 10: "I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult in my name, in God. For he has clothed me in the garments of salvation. He has wrapped me in the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with the garland, and as a bride adores herself with her jewels." So you're starting to see the perspective that I'm trying to paint. Too often we get into this place of bondage, as I'm talking about, where we're seeing through that dark mirror, but we can actually see through a crystal clear mirror. Jesus has paid the price so that we can look through this crystal clear mirror, and the enemy loves to keep us entrapped in that bondage and not truly understanding the work of the cross, because then we don't find true freedom from our struggles and our issues. And I know once I grabbed hold of this picture, that my life was completely changed and it was transformed, and the anxieties, the depressions that I was feeling, and as I was talking about before, the pornography addiction broke off my life, because I grabbed hold of these scriptures and I started to renew my mind into thinking the way that the Lord placed me in. So Isaiah is starting to speak to these Israelites about starting to renew their mind. Not to renew them from the situation that they are in, but to renew their thought process into thinking higher and to thinking further out of the captivity that they were in, out of the situation that they were in. And it's actually a choice to put on this righteousness. You know, as Job says, I put on the righteousness as my clothing. Justice was my robe and my turban. So we can actually make the choice to put on this righteousness and to walk out in the freedom that Jesus has already paid for. So what does it actually look like to put on these garments? Well, we need to actually give it all to the Lord. We need to give everything, our situations, our finances, our struggles of life and whatever we're going through. First, we need to actually lay it all at his feet and let him deal with it. And as it talks about in Luke 8, with the woman with the alabaster jar, when she came and broke the jar and poured it all over Jesus' feet, washed his feet with her tears and dried it with her hair. That's the perfect illustration of how we need to come to God. Because you see, this woman was a prostitute. She had gained this alabaster jar, these expensive perfumes, through her sin. But you see, this lady came to Jesus and she broke it all as an offering. Broke it all at his feet and said, Jesus, you can actually have it all. You can have my bondage, my sin. And came to Jesus with everything that she had. And in response to this, Jesus says a really profound statement. When the disciples come to him and say, talking about this process that this lady went through with breaking this alabaster jar, they come to Jesus and say, well, we could have used that and sold it for money for this ministry. But Jesus has a profound response. He says this, I tell you, her sins, and they are many, have been forgiven. So she has shown me much love. But a person who is forgiven little shows only little love. So through the work of the cross, we've actually been forgiven of everything. But we get into this place of thinking we've only been forgiven of little. So therefore, we don't walk out our freedom. But like the lady with the alabaster jar, we need to give the Lord everything, all of our struggles, all of our pain, all of our suffering, and actually give it to him because he will deal with it. And like the lady with the alabaster jar, when she actually gave everything, she was forgiven of everything. And through the work of the cross, we have already been forgiven of everything, but we choose not to walk in that freedom because we feel like we're our identity is in a place of being apprehended when, as I was talking about before, we think we're sinners. We think we're trapped in the anxieties or the depressions or the fears or whatever it might be in your life. And we get trapped in that. But I want to give you an opportunity today as we go into ministry time towards the end of this message to actually choose to lay it all down at his feet. Lay your fears, lay down your troubles, whatever it might be. Because it was actually when I laid everything down at Jesus' feet, that was when I found freedom from my addiction and the depressions and everything that I was going through. But it actually also takes a step of faith. Because you see, we can get to a place where we can say, okay, God, I give it all to you. But without the faith that God will actually deal with it, we go and lay our burdens at the cross, but then we go and pick them back up again. Because if we don't have the faith and keep our eyes fixated on Jesus, then we start picking up those old burdens, those old ways of thinking. And we get locked in the same space. And it's just this cycle that keeps going around and around and around. And like, we just had a conference recently, an apostolic conference. And there was an apostle named Dietrich that came. And he shares this story of being up the top of Table Mountains in South Africa. And all these guys are up there that would go back home to these shacks and be living in poverty. But they're up the top of this mountain and they're fervently praying to their Lord. And Dietrich was up there and he asked the Lord, okay, why are these people going back to this place of sin? Well, not this place of sin, but this place of poverty. And the Lord said this to him. He said, they want my provision, but they don't want my heart. See, we can come to the Lord and ask for, we come to the Lord and say, okay, God, you can deal with this. And we ask the Lord for so many things, but we don't actually want his heart completely. And I want to go on with Isaiah 40. So from 28, we start talking about a bit more about who God is and who we can actually be by renewing our minds to think his ways. So from verse 28, I want to read on. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God of the Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth. Neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. See, it's actually a choice to do this. It's actually a choice that we can take to put on that righteousness and actually to choose to renew our mind through Jesus. And choose to renew our mind. And I love the way that the New King James puts it. It's those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. See, in the busy culture that we've got around us today, we don't actually take the time to wait on the Lord. We wait for a quick fix. We come to church, and then throughout the week, we don't even seek him. But this is a call to actually start to wait on the Lord. You know, we're so busy waiting for the Logos word, which is the word of God, but we don't wait for the Rhema word, which is the spoken word of God. We don't take the time to wait on the Lord for him to speak to us. So, in Hebrews, or in the Hebrew language, the word renew that gets translated from, it can actually be better translated to exchange. So, as we actually start to wait on the Lord, we exchange our strength for his strength. We exchange our place of bondage for his strength. And back to what I was talking about before with this lady with the alabaster jar. We start to exchange our strength for his strength when we have the faith that he will actually deal with the things that we're going through. And like Peter, when he walked out on the water, he had to renew his mind. It wasn't in his human capabilities to walk on that water. He obviously couldn't have done that in his human thoughts, but he had to renew his mind and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to look to you. And by looking to you, that I'm going to step out of this boat and I'm going to walk on that water. But when we stay in that boat of captivity, then we try to work to get our approval from God. You know, when we stay in that place of bondage and we don't actually look to Jesus for our freedom, then we stay in this place of bondage. And as I said before, we just work for our approval and we work to see God work in our lives instead of just actually laying it all at his feet and choosing to look to Jesus. So with this lady, this alabaster jar, we can have that same heart posture to actually go, okay, God, I'm giving you everything. But then, like Peter, we actually have to have the faith in that situation when we actually give the Lord everything to actually say, okay, God, I give it all to you and I know that I'm going to find freedom from this. And I know that I'm going to, yes, it might take time to work through the addictions or the struggles or whatever it is that I'm going through, but I know that you are good. And we need to change our thought process from knowing that God is good doctrinally so that then when we do go through hard times in life and we start struggling, we look to Jesus. And even when the storms are around us, like it was when Peter stepped out on that boat, he looked to Jesus and he could step out and walk on that water. So we're going to have some, I want to leave plenty of time to have some ministry time. And if you are in a place of bondage or you have come here and you're stuck in that captivity of whatever it might be, the depressions, the anxieties, or even struggling addictions like pornography or whatever it might be, you can actually find the freedom from that. And the struggles that you were going through, you can find freedom from it through Jesus. And you know, the enemy likes likes it when we start to live a shallow life, where we stay in this place of bondage and captivity. Because he knows that when we actually know truly who we are in Christ, then those things obviously start breaking away. And when we walk in freedom, then the enemy slowly loses his grip on us. And we slowly walk further and further away from those things. So if I could get Ethan, if he's around. Oh, sweet. So I really wanted to leave as much time as possible for ministry time. And if you are struggling with anything at all, then I want you to actually take a step of faith and come to the front for prayer. Or heart posture yourself, even if you just want to sit in your seat, to actually say, okay, God, I'm going to lay it all down at your feet. To actually say, okay, God, I want to walk out the freedom that I gained through the cross.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.